Welcome back to the Talos of Tech podcast, ladies and gentlemen. And since we're at the beginning of this episode, I think we really need Randy to address some of these accusations people have been making about you. Go ahead. Okay. I was not expecting that.
Surprise.
Let the record show. I was planning this intro because I was not going to remind you guys this was going up on the birthday. And I was like, I'll gloss over it by just making up something and seeing how Randy reacts. And he was taking it so well. But dang it.
We don't forget.
Well,
we never
thank you
forget.
Guys.
We are the internet. The
Happy
internet
birthday.
Never forgets. Happy birthday, Drew.
The famous birthdays Twitter account forgets
because they were
wishing me happy birthday on the 12th. And I have no idea where they got that from.
Check your facts.
Twitter and birthdays are not friendly. They locked out my band account because of a birthday thing.
Really?
Oh my god. Yeah. That doesn't surprise me. But I've set everything to public now, so I'm like, okay, just anyone, they don't have to be following me. They can just see it. I'm tired of explaining to people when it is. It's a big mess. And
there
then Burn wished me a birthday on the wrong day too, and I've been getting birthday wishes every day now. But we're not even recording this on my birthday. But
we're
thank
not.
You.
But when it goes up, it's we're future. We're dialing in from the future. Happy birthday! Buddy.
I went around the sun. I went in a circle.
Congrats.
Speaking
and you did
of
not go in a circle,
milestones.
Drew. Orbital mechanics dictate that you went in an ellipse around the sun with this periaps.
Oh
and...
my god! Wrong podcast.
For...
I don't even know
I
what
apologize.
That was. Don't you ever talk smart to me again.
I dearly apologize.
Neanderthal brain can't process what you
Should
just said.
Should we talk
said.
About technology, though? I feel like this is the Talos of Tech
I'm disappointed
podcast.
In myself for getting that wrong, okay? I'm just mad at myself.
Shame.
I apologize.
Well,
but speaking
ding,
of
ding, shame.
Milestones that don't mean very much, Samsung released some new phones since the last time we've talked.
Oh,
with the Galaxy S20 series. And I feel like people still don't have a grip on how expensive these things are, because Apple has a $1,000 phone, and they also have an $1,100 phone. So when
they
the
also
S20
have a $700
starts out,
phone.
They do. But when the S20 starts out at $1,000, people don't really think much about it because they're like, okay, iPhone 10, that was 3 years ago. That was $1,000. I guess they're just matching Apple's prices. No, they really aren't. They didn't release just one, but two smartphones that starting price are higher than the most expensive iPhone starting price, which is $1,100 for the Pro Max. Not a lot of people just focus on the S20 Ultra being more expensive, but also... Yeah. S20 Plus starts at $1,200.
Mm.
That's $100 more than Apple's starting price.
That's not even the Ultra.
So, yeah, that's not even the Ultra. That's just the basic, like, oh, you wanted a bigger battery and a larger screen? That's an extra $200. Mm. I get that you get a lot of specs and there's a lot of stuff on paper that the S20 Plus does that the Pro Max doesn't. I get all that. But I haven't talked to you guys about it, so I'm curious. Let's start with Nick. What do you think of these price targets they're reaching?
First off, it's very impressive. I mean, if I were a company, I'd love to sell a $1,300 phone. That sounds like a great a great plan.
Good
so
idea.
So congrats to Samsung for successfully marketing a $1,350 phone. Congratulations. That being
getting
said,
most of the internet
this
to be okay
phone
with it.
Should not exist.
I like how you took it out on a positive note. Why shouldn't it exist?
It's okay, so this is the culmination.
Congratulations, Samsung. You suck. I hate this.
Oh, Nick is kind of bipolar right today. There. Congratulations, Samsung.
Mm-hmm. You suck.
Yeah.
So this is a culmination of a lot of problems that the kind of Samsung/Android user base has kind of been facing. They're all about their specs. They've always been about their
they
specs.
Are.
Go back to any phone ever. Any Samsung, any Android, any OnePlus, any... They're all like, mm-hmm. Oh, it has a Snapdragon 845 plus the 8 gigabytes of RAM and the QLED mm-hmm. display with the fast charging
right.
and the 5G and the all the stuff.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
That was his John Prosser tech community impression.
This is the entire Toilet Squad community impression here.
Makes sense.
They wanted all of these specs, and... for years, mm-hmm. iPhone was best balance between good specs and good user mm-hmm. interface. And I think Android kind of realized that iPhone users like the iPhone because it's so reliable and so well spec'd. And it's not really that the iPhone has the most RAM, which it doesn't, or the best processor, which it doesn't. It's just software uses the hardware so much more efficiently. And so mm-hmm. Samsung this year was like, well, screw it. People want all of the specs possible inside of our little glass rectangles and glass squares that fold into mm-hmm. glass rectangles that are actually not glass. Mm-hmm. So what we're going to do is we're going to stick all of the specs in there, just all of them, every single spec into them. And you get the 5 mm-hmm. GB and the fast charging and the 100 times zoom and the, I'm sorry, potato time promotion. Zoom, one of the two, promotion and the
8K
camera and all of the specs. Guess what? That's expensive. That's going to cost $1,300.
Yeah, has to be.
So it's exactly what the people ordered. It's just not what anyone actually wanted. Everyone thought they wanted this, but they don't. I'm sorry. All the Android users who, like, back in 2017, oh my gosh, the iPhone 10, or the, I'm sorry, the iPhone X is $1,000. I would never spend $1,000. Look at all these other Android phones you can get that are only $700, and they're so much cheaper, and they're better.
See, I like what happens when we just let him go, Drew? We just let him talk. You see how he just...
this is why we cut you off so much.
He hyperventilates.
We want you to breathe.
He gets to the state of hyperventilating.
No, like, it's interesting how the opinion of price points on phones that much all change once you throw in some RAM. You know, like, when the iPhone 10 first came out, I remember a lot of people saying, like, no phone should ever be $1,000. That's crazy. Like, no mm-hmm. phone should ever get that expensive. And then when it's more expensive, but it has
now
really good specs, people
for
are like,
"It to be only $1,000."
Well,
you get
the
budget model; it's $1,000.
Yeah, but you're getting a lot out of it, so it's like, oh, so you're saying that when it has things you care about, it is okay to be over $1,000. This proves my point that we have not reached max potential for how expensive phones can get.
Ooh, no.
For people to consider them worth it. Worth is always subjective. Obviously, most people I don't think are going to find the S20 Ultra worth it, but there is going to be a demographic for it. I think it should exist. I'll disagree. It shouldn't exist because Samsung needs to move in that direction because I think that's their target demographic is just the people who care about that stuff on paper. And honestly, I would rather them go in that direction than try to compete with the iPhone so heavily because it felt like that's what they've been doing for years is just being like, we got to steal iPhone users. We got to get them iPhone users. We're going to run anti-Apple campaigns and we're going to bring up Apple and compare their photos in our keynotes and stuff. And they didn't do that at this event. And they've taken down the anti-Apple commercials. And it feels like it's interesting now because they have such different price points that it's very hard to compare when people are like, okay, let's compare S20 to iPhone 11. It's like, I mean, can you really compare those? Because there's like $300 between them.
Yeah. You have your whole... I swear we talked about this. Tell me if I'm wrong. I swear we did, but...
You're wrong.
The moment they stopped trying to compete with Apple, because that's not their competition,
mm-hmm.
then you can give yourself room to shine. And Samsung has, in my opinion, the best... non-iOS mobile ecosystem overall.
Yeah, very fair.
With their home appliances and their everything, and if you want to be in that ecosystem, I think we've all, well, I don't know what Nick, I know you said it, Drew, and I agree with you that, like, if I was not with Apple, I would have been with Samsung just for the ecosystem. You buy into the ecosystem for the convenience of your life and just the simplicity mm-hmm. of everything just kind of communicating the way it does. And I would say that this is them finally just saying, screw it. You know, they are not.
I like
that. I do too. Even if you get crappy foldable phones, like at least go figure out. They were having an identity crisis, it feels like, for mobile. Go figure out who you are, what you want to be. They know they have the best screens, and so they're like, okay, we got to do something with the screens. And okay, fine, if that's what it is, just go make your own path and stop chasing the market. What you think what people want from iPhone is what you think they want for Android. They're two different customer bases. Overall, we all just want a phone that works and it's connected to the web. We can text reliably. We can call. We can browse the web and take good photos. As of right now, that's the demand of what any phone they would want. But when you start to break it into its prospective segments of it, you get iPhone because you're buying, you know, the ecosystem, the walled yes. garden that they talk about, or you want good videography and photography. Mm-hmm. And Samsung has been lacking in the photo thing for such a long time that mm-hmm. and I say lacking in the sense that, like, the moment Pixel came out, nobody was listening to Samsung about their photography, the adjustable aperture and all that stuff. They just like stupid gimmicks. But that was them trying to figure it out. Now they're just like, yeah, let's see what we can do by maxing everything out and mm-hmm. just see. It's like they want to see what sticks, but at the same time, they're also saying, here's what we can do for the mass market today. And while we're also doing that, we have a niche thing with these foldable clamshell or tablet mode. Or you have all these other ones here that they're showcasing, and it's
they
just
love their
them.
Niches.
Yeah, but good on you, because now mm-hmm. the less you try to compare yourself to Apple, I feel the better of a product you can make for your right. own company. Yeah. And I'm about that, because if Samsung makes better hardware for it and just a better user experience for it, it will drive competition, which means Apple will still keep doing it. You can't lose from it. I don't want any of the companies except Pixel. I want the Pixel to fail, but I don't want any of the other. I don't want any.
Because they're not pushing competition.
They're not. They're just reactive. If you are chasing the market trend, you're already behind. I've always said that, and that's the mm-hmm. case with these big companies too, chasing Apple's success. Don't chase Apple's success. Apple's successful because they didn't chase it. They did their own thing. The all touchscreen design. They're like, no, that's a smartphone. I don't want hard key. Apple did their thing. Everybody followed. And that's where mm-hmm. they screwed up. And that's why everyone's been playing, chase the car in a sense. Like you got mm-hmm. this whole, everybody hates Apple because they were the first mainstream. They weren't the first to market for any of this stuff, but they were the first one to do it right. And
right, modernize it.
And you, me, Nick, our audience, other YouTubers, we all have been saying it from the get-go of – I feel like these companies are listening. We've all been saying that stop worrying about what Apple's doing, because
right, yeah.
people – you're not – we're at a point where people are going to stay in those – ecosystems. They're not leaving. We're gonna be in the ecosystem, and we're happy, we're content, we like it.
Score is tied to it.
Yeah, now your credit score is tied to it. Everything's good to it. You're not gonna get these Samsung Knights to leave their Galaxy phones, and I don't expect them mm-hmm. to. They might. The best you'll see is people are gonna walk around with two phones, but one's always gonna be an iPhone and one's gonna be an Android thing. iPhone
stuck.
Is iPhone.
It's super
glue. It's not going anywhere.
So, I do think one thing about market chasing, I hope that given the S20 can handle 120 hertz, granted you have to turn it on in settings, but I'm not critiquing them for that, because some people thought that was dumb, that it's like off by default, but average people don't know what that is. So right. to me, it's like, if you're the type of person who knows what 120 hertz is, you can turn it on and then leave it on and you'll be fine. But my hope is that, given Google did it with 90 hertz, OnePlus is doing it with 120 in their next phone, Samsung did it with 120, that Apple will feel like they have to do it on the iPhone. That's one thing I'm hoping they push Apple to do, because I want it on the iPhone, not for any functional reason, just for personal preferences. So I'm hoping
that
encourages
them
to...
It's crazy they figured it out for OLED, you know? Like, that
yeah,
was the big setback.
Have. And they buy their screens from Samsung, so if Samsung's selling them to OnePlus and they're putting them in their own phones, then I feel like Apple should realize that they would be at a pretty significant disadvantage if they didn't put it in, just with market trends. And there's a lot of market trends they're okay with not going on board with, but my hope is that's one they decide to opt in for. So, yeah, I think...
I agree.
So I think you're right about the... Samsung's direction.
So,
what is it, Nick?
So about the camera of this super silly. That was the first time that I read the leaks. Was it John? I don't remember who, but someone was like, "It's going to have 100x zoom." Like, no one.
It's kind
wants
of a cheat,
100x zoom, and I know it's such a cheat. Like, you have to have like a tripod and like no wind. And I'm a big photographer. I had a 300 to 600 millimeter lens. That's equivalent to about 20x zoom on an unstabilized sensor. I had to have a tripod to even punch in that far. And that was only about 15 to 20 times zoom. That's nothing to this 100 times zoom. So I was at first like, well, that's weird. Who wants that? And then as the event got closer and closer, I was like, well, 100 times zoom might be kind of useful. I mean, obviously no one's going to punch all the way into 100 times, but you could go up to like 50 or 30 and, you know, spy on your neighbors or whatever else people do with 100 times zoom. I don't know.
Sure.
And I was warming up to the idea. I was like, okay, I could see this being a useful feature, you know, maybe because it has a 10 times hardware optical zoom, which I think is very impressive. You know, that
30.
No, 30. See, look, I should read the news. Did you say that in your video? Because I didn't watch your video. I think that's the main issue here.
You didn't watch his video?
I didn't watch it either.
But my point is, it's kind of a cheat because it's 100x from the ultra wide, and most of it's digital because it's not counting it from the main lens the same way, like, oh, iPhone's telephoto is 2x, that's 2x from the standard lens. Not if you counted it from ultra-wide, basically with Samsung's terminology, Apple should call their telephoto 4x because it's half of the regular.
Okay.
And then if you zoom into 2, that's a 4x zoom, right? So it's a little bit of an exaggeration. Not that it's not impressive. I think it's really, really cool that you can zoom in that far. But I do agree with a lot of what YouTubers are saying, which is just you're never going to do that. Mm-hmm. It's just the flex ability, I guess, and also just the flex mode of being able to say you can. But it's also a 30x optical, and then the rest is being done just by cropping in, which I think is a little bit deceiving to people, because when we hear 100x, I mean, from a practical standpoint, it would not have made sense to make a lens that is actually fixed at 100x. That would have been really like stupid, because
millimeters or something.
It wouldn't have fit in the phone. You had to punch in and stay at 100, and you couldn't zoom out any. So I get why you shouldn't put an actual 100x optical, but for marketing purposes, it sounds great. I get it.
Snapchat had that feature for years and years and years, where you can just keep zooming in optically. And
if it like infinite,
not optically, but digital, you could just keep zooming and just punching. And so you just all you see is
pixels,
fuzz, and
potato
and pixels. Yeah.
Well, that's what I saw. When they did we're doing the whole live stream on the S10 or S20 Ultra. Ooh. Mm-hmm. And by the way, we also have some pre-recorded guys in San Francisco, and we're going to zoom in on
this. That demo was really bad.
Oh, my goodness. That was the worst demo I've ever seen. That's like
it wasn't
worse than
real
Cybertruck.
At all. Like,
it was just like, and then they had a little thing at the bottom that said images simulated.
Oh, my God.
I was just like, what on earth?
I know they zoomed in heavily, but it was clearly not in real time. It was just a still, and it was really potato quality, and they were like, let's zoom in. Wow, but it was frozen. It was clearly a screenshot. Uh-huh. Like, we know that in reality, this should be shaking like crazy, even if it's on a tripod. Doesn't matter. It's just
they
anything
had that
zoomed
thing on
in
a
that much.
Beast level tripod, though.
Oh, yeah. Huge, way nicer than the tripod I use, and it should be shaking like crazy, but it was these stupid stills, and I was like, why do they feel like they need to demonstrate it with like this weird looking demo? And they wanted to flex that the event was being streamed from the S20 camera, but I mean the stream didn't look great, so it wasn't.
I mean,
in
it's
my
a live
opinion,
stream,
a very
so yeah,
yeah.
Because
the live
stream
is 1080p,
the stream wasn't
and it's
meant for us. It meant for the people who don't know to tell the difference between like holding it and the shaking and all that. They're talking to the normal people who have somewhat of an interest in it, and it's not meant for journalists and tech enthusiasts.
No.
You know, we knew that's why they did the commercial for the Oscars. They put it out there for the same reason. It wasn't meant for us. It was meant for everybody else, because nobody else is really going to watch the stream. And I wouldn't call it the worst stream, guys. I mean, I distinctly remember
it wasn't
Google
terrible. I just
having the
image quality was not something I would have flexed with. It's for a live stream, because the quality was okay. Like, I could see what was happening, but it was glitching and it was repeating, and there was standard live stream stuff issues. And I was like, okay, all it's really flexing is the telephoto lens. That's about all you're getting out of it.
So what's your guys' favorite feature, if you only have but one, or maybe more? What's your favorite feature of this new lineup?
Is camera a feature, or is that too broad?
No, it could be camera.
Because I'm excited to try it out. I'm definitely picking one up. I have a reservation. I actually pre-ordered the Z Flip this morning. I have a reservation for the S20 Ultra, which then you pre-order it on the 21st. So it's a very weird process. I guess reservation is different from pre-order for Samsung. But anyway, yeah, I'm excited to do an 8K vlog because I've never shot anything in 8K before, and I'm not expecting it to be on par with RED cameras. I know it's a smartphone and it's compressed and everything. I did read that they cap it out at 5 minutes, but it's understandable given it's 8K. I mean... I mean, I can make cuts in there anyway. Probably just for the sheer file size, it's going to be huge. How much data that consumes? I think it's something like 600 megabytes a minute, or I think it's more than that. It's something. It's more. Huge.
Yeah.
But it's 24 frames a second, which I'm not a fan of. But still, I just want to do at least one vlog and film some stuff at 8K and see how my computer handles it, just to edit with. And I like that they seem to cut down on the curved display. Marquez brought up in his video, it's a lot flatter than before, which I appreciate because I want them to go completely flat. I don't want any curves, but I'll take what I can get. And if they're slowly moving it in.
I think they proved their point with how they were able to do that. And I think now that they've rocked it for enough years, I think they're like, all right, you guys know we can do this and our TVs and blah, 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 blah. We can curve.
They get it.
Stuff. I think you guys get it, so maybe now they can wind it back because I like the way it looks. It's not practical.
It's a great demo is what it is.
It is.
When you first unbox it and turn it on, it's like, whoa, that's really cool. And then when you're using it day by day, it's like, well, this is annoying.
Yeah, those ghost touches, phantom touches, and the everything.
And the distortion. I notice it. Like when I'm watching videos on it, it rolls off a little bit. And it's the dumbest thing with the Note series because you're writing on it with a pen. I'm like, don't make curved edges on something you write on that's supposed to be flat so you can, you know, shade off edges and stuff like that. But the camera's the biggest one. For me,
I'm going to disagree with you on the design there, Drew. As much as I think, it's kind of stupid if the display itself is bent over the glass. I like the feeling of like glass. Like the iPhone is a perfect example. Ever since the iPhone 6,
iPhone is great.
Like it has a little bit of a
curve.
That's
handled very differently.
So that your finger doesn't, you don't feel the seam anywhere. It's just like very seamless all the way from the side to the back to the front. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It's why I'm kind of sad that, you know, they're moving to an iPhone 4 style design next year because I love just how seamless this feels.
Have you used a Galaxy S phone?
I have held one once at your place, and you told me not to chuck it into the carpet, which I didn't.
Thank you.
But that was still very grateful.
Reluctantly, you didn't.
Reluctantly. He only threw it twice.
So
I asked him to stop the third time. But my point is Samsung phones have that edge display roll off, but it goes right into a very, very sharp metal edge that cuts into your hand way more than the iPhone does. If they found a way to make it curve, but also rock the rounded edges of the iPhone, which is very comfortable in the hand, that would be different, but they don't do that. They have a very... Because both the front glass and the back glass kind of curve into a point.
Oh, okay.
It's not like a seamless, rounded-off edge. They're like, they curve into a little sharp edge, and I don't like the way it feels in the hand personally. Most people have cases anyway, but I like using caseless. So that's why... I'm okay with them going flat as long as the edges can be more smoothed out. And that's why I'm not crazy about the squared off iPhone. If there's a way they can make it comfortable, I'm for it. But I'm just comfortable with this design. But people get bored. I get it. They're tired of it.
My favorite feature different. Of the S20 is the 5G. Like, come on. I cannot wait to watch my Netflix faster. It's going to be amazing.
Couldn't I think of that?
No. There are like zero features I love. Like, I'm not a specs person. I'm a user interface person.
Yeah,
I could care less if my iPhone had half the RAM.
You're not excited at all for anything about, or you don't have a feature you liked about this new lineup.
No. We'll talk about the Z Flip, which I was close to pre-ordering. But
I was going to ask you before we get to the Z Flip about 8K because Samsung's selling 8K TVs. And they
were advertising that you can take live stream, or did they mention that in the live stream?
Easy to miss, but it was there. You know, they had a guy walk up to it, nod his head, and go, "Very cool."
As we watch it in our 780p or 720p,
as we're watching it, our heavily compressed stream. It was hilarious. I laughed out loud, like unironically. I wasn't doing it for the reaction stream. You know, I was just genuinely he walks up to it and it's on this crappy live stream and he's like, wow, very cool. You know, it felt like an SNL skit or something.
Yes.
But
last time I saw you broke like that is when you record yourself opening the Pixel and you're like Pixel Boy or whatever, and you just and you broke character in your video.
I couldn't keep it together. It was just too. I was thinking. I usually break character when I look at the big picture at what's going on in this situation, and the fact that there's like hundreds of thousands of people watching this thing, and they were just watching a guy. I look at a TV, and his reaction is just,
wow,
very cool. And he's like looking right at the camera with this dead face. He just wasn't excited at all.
What about the guy that they hired, the fashion guy who looked like he was at
the
gunpoint
commercial that made no sense? Remember when he walks up to a waterfall and it splits in half and then it just ends? Like, I was like, what? I mean, I'm an apple sheep, but you might need to go back to the Ingenious commercials. I think those were a little better. You can at least get the message, you know. Yeah, but my point about 8K is that I don't ever think this is going to be a standard. I know there's some people that heavily disagree with this, and I've seen a lot of, I've argued with a lot of people, but I think that we've reached the limit to where the benefits do not outweigh the cons of having to pay more. The law of diminishing returns is heavily in effect here. And thinking of the market as a whole, I don't think that 4K is even a standard yet. A lot of people think it is because so many of us know what 4K is, and a lot of YouTubers upload in 4K, and we review 4K monitors and TVs and stuff like that, and we're just so accustomed to it. But in regards to what the general market watches content on, I don't think 4K was even a good enough selling point for people to be like, oh, I need to go upgrade my TV. That's something I think surprisingly uncommon. Like, not as common as smartphones, people buying new phones. People will buy a TV and hang on to it for easily 5 years plus.
Yes.
My TV in my office right here, I've had since 2009.
Wow.
Right? That's my point. Yeah, like the TV I have in our...
1080 is the max output. Yeah.
Yeah, that's we have a 1080p TV in the bedroom that I had in the attic days that I still – it's great. There's nothing wrong with it. I have no complaints. Yeah. It just works. And I think that if I'm a techie person saying, 4K is nice, but I'm not going to throw out my 1080p TVs. You know, I'm not going to be like, oh, I gotta replace every screen in the house with a 4K one. Like when we use our 1080p screen, it's like half the stuff we're watching on YouTube is in 4K anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and right. Half the show, like, we watch a bunch of shows and movies that were never even in 4K. You know, they're VHS rips or you know, old movies and stuff like that.
That's
like,
true.
Yeah, The Office, I don't think you can watch in 4K on any.
3:4 aspect ratio and, like,
quality. We watch, you know, old TV shows and stuff like that. It's just not a good enough selling point that I don't think 8K will ever become something that we just... Well, soon everybody will have 8K. Like, I think we've hit the limit in phones. You know, we had Sony experiment with those 4K displays on smartphones, and no one else really picked up on it. You notice that? Like, no one else in the industry was like, oh, well, Sony's doing it, but we'll catch up. Eventually, Samsung didn't get there. In fact, they were shipping their phones with 1080p by default out of the box. You could up it to 1440p, but again, it damaged the battery life, so they were like, eh, let's just leave it off. I don't think most people can notice.
I think that's what your problem is. I think that's why we're stopping right now. I don't think we have the processing power or the battery supportability. Is that a word?
It's like we do. It's just not in demand. You know,
it's a compromise you're not willing to make. Any of us are at this point. Imagine if they said, hey, guys, this iPhone will output 4K in your hand, and you can film up to 8K, and you experience no loss in performance, battery, it doesn't overheat, nothing. I think the demand, people are like, this is cool. All right, so business as usual. I think I understand what you're saying, Drew, but I think the outlook is different. It's not about the resolution. It's about what are you willing to sacrifice for it. And right now, we are all in about battery, and we want best performance in battery. And we have data now showing it from these other guys trying it that you don't get the best output when you start really trying to go all out with resolution and recordings, mm-hmm. And maybe at one point even refresh rate, right? Like that was a thing. Like you're going to take a hit on your battery for this. I remember OnePlus was talking about that. So for us as the consumer, we pick and we know what we're willing to compromise for and not compromise for. And this is something I don't think anybody wants to compromise for when it is a smartphone. If you had a dedicated camera that did all that stuff, like the Red and all that stuff, then that, now it's
That's different.
It's completely different. But we talk about the phones. Our number one priority with any phone, I argue all of us have the same concern. We just want the best battery and best performance. That's it. Everything else is what we would appreciate. Yes, I want a good camera. Yes, I want a good speaker and all that stuff. For all that. Yes, refresh rate. That'd be awesome. But at the end of the day, I need to be able to have good performance on it, and I need to be able to have it last me a whole day plus. And if the camera or the resolution starts to screw with that, I'm not in, and a lot of people aren't. That's why iPhone XR and 11 are selling so well the way they did, because the output, like, that is the best example of saying that we don't even need 1080p sometimes if your performance
that's my
is
point,
top tier.
Yeah. On a phone for general consumers, like here's an important thing to remember. When the iPhone 7 came out, that was the first year the Plus model started outselling the smaller one. They sold more 7 Pluses than 7s. Okay, so that means most people buying the new iPhone were getting 1080p. That's a full HD display with 400 in 1 pixels per inch.
Right.
Now, flash forward to today, best-selling phone is the XR and the 11, those compromised phones with LCD.
Yeah.
And that's a lower pixel density. That's sub 400, sub 1080p, but no one cares because they notice the display taking up more of the phone, no home button, gesture control, face ID. That's what stood out to them is the amount, the screen-to-body ratio made a bigger impact than the pixel density. And here in the tech community, we have some, you know, hardcore nerds that are like, I can see the difference between 1080p and 1440p on the phone. And I'm like, something I love about Androids, I wish I could do on my iPhone. I wish I could set the resolution to be lower and prioritize battery life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would turn that on if I could. They force the Pro Max to run at full res, but if I could turn it down to 1080 or sub 1080 to preserve battery, I would. I would totally do it. Because I can't. Yeah, if you look really, really hard, you can see a difference, but it's not that type of, like, you don't need razor sharp pixel density at all times when most of what we're doing is Twitter and texting and half the screen is white or black anyway. You know, it's just on and off pixels half the time, and we're just browsing through social media. We've already hit this limit with the pixels and phones to the point where the technology came. It was possible. It was buyable. Someone could go out and buy a 4K phone if they wanted. They didn't vote with their wallets. They didn't sell well. Right. And now we've started going down from 1080p, and we're still seeing success. We're still seeing people buy it. I think that's proving that law of diminishing returns is not is going into effect of just like, no, I'm not willing to pay extra for that. It's not a selling point that's worth it to me. And I think the TV market has been trying to find the next big thing for years now. They did the 3D stuff. That died out. No one wanted 3D TV. Then it was the curved. And that was kind of a thing. You know, there's some people that like the curved monitors, but it's definitely a niche. It's not the mainstream.
For sure.
And I think 8K is just the next chapter of that. It's just them trying to think of another marketing term.
Can I ask you guys, what do you think about your monitors as a whole? Specifically, I'm going to make a controversial statement just to get the conversation rolling. I think TVs are useless. I think we consume all our media, and I am using a broad brush here.
You both TVs own TVs. I don't own TVs.
Okay, so there you go, Nick.
You don't own a single TV?
I don't own a single TV. My family does not
own a
single
house.
No, there's no TVs in this entire household. We do have
a
projector.
What do you watch Disney Plus on?
Amish?
We're not Amish. We live in Amish country, but we're not Amish. no,
Was 1870 the best year of human history? And you guys said, you know what? We're not getting any better from here.
We have peaked.
Ouch.
What do you watch stuff on? 1870.
I am just so futuristic, Randy. Your mind can't comprehend it. I'm just so far into the future.
You're right.
We've skipped right past
the TVs. I'm a Neanderthal. You're absolutely right.
What do you watch stuff on? What is the family?
90% of my content consumption is either on my iPhone or my iPad. That's
I'm not asking right. yours. The okay. family. The family together.
Well, together we
watch
on a projector.
Watch a movie tonight.
We have a projector. It's
oh,
a 4K projector.
That's the same thing. This went weird. This went weird real
How
quick.
Is this weird? I'm sure
it's not weird.
About
I'm just
before.
Saying that's basically a TV.
It's not a TV.
Actually, Nick, you're ruining my point. Hold on. Before you tell me your thing, let me just make my argument and then you can talk about your projector.
Okay.
My point is that even as we speak right now, we're looking at our own, you know, display right here, looking at each other. I got my Mac. You all got your Macs too. Like we have these things that we use the most. And I got this TV that I just talked about. I had since 2009, and I rarely have that sucker on for anything more than maybe aesthetics for background videos and stuff. But my point is that curved monitors seem to still be a thing. I see them in the workforce. I see them at people's private, you know, in their homes and stuff like that. And so I see that people do like that, but they're not interested in paying that money for a big old TV. And their monitors give them 4K plus output for such a lower price. And like I watch YouTube, I do this, I sit at my desk, this is my lounging area, and I feel TVs are obsolete now. Am I really meaning that? No. The point I'm making is that the point I'm making is that we as a whole care more about the monitors and outside of TVs, we care more about having the best monitor and display for our computer and for our real consumption with Netflix that you can do on the computer, with YouTube that you obviously do on the computer. Can you do all those things on a smart TV? Of course. But if it's cheaper and you still get better output and all that stuff, you're going to upgrade all that stuff before you upgrade that ancient device called a television set. Change my mind.
Okay, so go ahead, Drew.
You're on the right track. I'm not in the complete agreement that they're obsolete, but there's a few things I think people forget about TVs, because in the tech community they seem to be addressed and upgraded about as often as phones are, despite people not upgrading their TVs as often as their smartphone. But it is a stationary product. It is something that is not mobile, which is increasingly less popular these days. You know, desktops are not as popular because laptops can replace them. And hey, it's a laptop. You can take it with you. You can bring it to a client's office. You can use it on the couch. Use it in the bedroom. It's more flexible to be mobile. So the use cases of desktop PCs have definitely gone down. You know, when I was a kid, we had a family computer. You know, we had the office that the computer sat on, and each person in the family had their own folder with their name on it, and we all shared it. You know, that was what we had growing up.
Was it That's a beige not really... box?
I've noticed that even at other people's houses that I visit, like, that's not really a thing anymore. There's not like the one computer room that everyone shares. No, everyone has their phone, their tablet, or their iPod, maybe just their own dedicated device. And we can go anywhere we want with that device because it fits in our pocket. And that's just a little side tangent to give the point of TVs are not something you get to take around with you. Therefore, they're not something we spend a lot of time on. You're right, because we watch a ton of short-term stuff like YouTube or those stupid little Facebook videos that autoplay and auto-scroll and everything that just grab
okay,
on your
boomer.
Eyes and... That's what I mean. You
Facebook,
scroll through all this stuff.
That?
Our time spent on displays is moving a lot more towards mobile products and less towards stationary, and that's what the TV is. So that's why it's likely why, you know, Randy wants to get the latest iPhone each year, but he still has a TV from 2009, and I'm sure it works fine. You know, my TV, I bought used. I didn't buy it new, and it still works, and I enjoy it. It's like... It gets the job done, but I'm not, you know, taking it around with me, so I don't feel the need to spend $1,000 a year on upgrading my TV. Maybe some of our listeners do. I don't. Okay, good for you. But when it comes to average viewing distance as well to the television, there are shows I've watched in 4K on our main TV we have in the living room is a 4K one. I actually did buy that one somewhat recently. It was 2 years ago now, and it's great. it was $400. It gets the job done. You know, in the few times we actually have found content that plays at 4K and watch it on there, I'm always like, whew, dang, okay, this thing is sharp. You know, this thing can really push some pixels. And I notice it, but when people are over, non-techie people cannot see the difference. Mm-hmm. They don't know the difference between 1080 and 4K, even on a large display where I think it is noticeable, but it's only noticeable when it's put side by side. If you put a 1080p TV next to a 4K TV and you're at a Best Buy and you look back and forth, you could go, I could see the difference. Yeah, that one's a little sharper. But it's not something people are going to say, you know, like, well, we got to go get a new 8K TV. And given that most houses I've been to are still not even adapted to 4K, most cable TV is still under 1080, and most content people are watching, the average consumers can't see it. So that's why I think that when it comes to resolutions, 4K is where we're pretty much going to be tapped out. I think that's going to be the maximum. It's not even what most people watch these days. And I think companies are getting very much ahead of themselves, especially at CES when it's just TVs, TVs, TVs. Everything's 8K. 8K this, 8K that. We can shoot at 8K, watch in 8K, cast in 8K. The only time it's really going to be useful is when you're, you know, filming the next Marvel or Star Wars movie that's going to be viewed on a giant IMAX projector.
Yeah.
And, yeah, IMAX stuff.
True.
The movie industry, yes, they can enjoy their 8K stuff. But when it comes to just the average consumers and what we're all watching ourselves, I think 1080 and 4K is going to be enough for 99%.
So would you say 4K is least important between that and getting a foldable phone with a display, one that might have been pre-ordered there, Drew?
I want to talk about my 4K experience.
Go, Nick, go.
You just ruined a perfect segue without me even bringing it up. I'm walking away.
Too late.
You did it too soon. Away. That's the problem. I have so many more thoughts.
Take a walk.
So I have a 4K 27-inch monitor that I use on the daily with my MacBook Pro, which I still begrudgingly use. But I've actually scaled it to 1080p. I have a 4K monitor sitting at my desk that I use and I look at 1080p because I got tired of the MacBook trying to take off every time I plugged in the monitor. And I honestly can't tell the difference because it's a huge screen. So I have a 4K monitor, but I don't ever look at 4K content. Like, I think the MacBook's 2.5K or something. That's probably the most K's that I've seen in my radio day.
Yeah, it's something weird.
But most of the content I watch is on my phone or on my iPad. Like, almost all of it. There are very few times where, you know, the family will come together and we'll watch a movie. Like, we did it last night with old Lucille Ball show. We were making candies yesterday and we decided we wanted to watch that candy scene where Lucille Ball was trying to package candies. Anyway, classic show. Mm-hmm. So we sat around the projector, which is, I don't know, I think it's 150 inches or something. Probably something like that. Takes up our entire wall. We have a nice white wall that we painted with, you know, special cinematic paint or whatever.
It's basically a
TV, yes. But we never do that. We do that maybe once a week. Like,
really?
And I'm watching stuff on my phone. My dad's watching stuff on his phone. My mom's watching stuff on her phone. And my sister's doing homework. So, you know, it's like,
wow.
Lucky sister.
All the adults are doing stuff. My sister's doing her homework.
So, yeah. Okay. I think that TVs are dead. And I mean, if I was going to sit down and watch like an Iron Man movie and I was like, I want to watch this in 4K. I don't even know if they're in 4K. But anyway, some movie, big movie, I would not watch it on the projector with the family. I would either watch it on my phone or watch it on my iPad. Or if I was really feeling cinematic, I'd transform my desk into a 4K viewing setup. But even then, I've never done that before. So
It's magical.
I'm not sure if my internet can support that bandwidth.
Oh, that's right. You don't have internet. That's right. Because I was like, you got the speakers, you got everything.
I could do that. Just watch it in potato quality on the big screen, which is 27 inches.
You make a good point, though, that I do think that the family gathering around the TV screen is becoming less and less of a thing that it used to be. When everyone has their own screens. We're all watching TV, but we're all watching TV separately.
Yes.
You know?
And we're not watching scheduled TV shows like, you know, news at 7.
No, that's falling away.
Yeah, it's like all streaming.
There's some people that still like cable, but I mean, it's,
okay, Grandma.
It's falling away. More
we
and more people are
people
moving
boomers.
Towards... Yes, the boomer generation is still enjoying their CNN or whatever, and we're moving on to more social media, YouTube stuff. I don't know what they're watching. I literally never in my life did we ever have cable TV.
Me neither.
We've never had it. So I don't understand the approach to it. People pay absurd amounts of money to watch 50% commercials. So that's definitely on the way out. It's more and more people moving away from it and just moving towards streaming stuff and more ad-free content. So in that growing time, there's less of a demand for people just gathering around the TV. And especially in the bigger problem is proving to someone that something's wrong, that their television, that the family's around, it's 1080p and that's wrong and they need to change it. That's a really hard selling point. Is when, you know, like, okay, we're all going to get together because we have movie nights at friends' houses that they have projectors that are 1080p and stuff like that. And we all gather around the screen and watch a movie or something. And if I went up to them and we're like, you know, what you really need is 8K because this thing is not cutting it. You know, we watched this movie and that was fun and everything, but I think you need a new one. Trying to tell them that, like, no, you shouldn't buy a $400 TV that's fine and or $500 projector that gets the job done, or and that they need to opt for something that's about 8 times the price so that they can get a little bit sharper detail or that extreme dynamic range or selling someone on that. It's just not going to work. It's not going to – people aren't going to be willing to stretch the wallet for that. It's replacing the TV is probably less common than like replacing your desktop iMac. You know,
that's
something you can buy and hold on to for a good number of years. It's not going to be like our mobile products that, you know, the battery degrades with time and since they're mobile, they're being interacted with the elements a lot more than just stuff that stays fixed. Like our TV in the living room's mounted to the wall. You know, that's something I have to do quite a lot of work to replace now, because I'm going to have to pop out the mount on whatever the next TV is and make sure it's compatible with the new mount and the weight and everything. And it's just, I don't think 8K will ever be a standard. I think it's always going to be somewhere between 1080 and 4K. I think we're always just going to fluctuate between then when people need a new TV because either their old one gets old. And that's part of the problem, too, is TVs have a hard time aging.
Yeah.
It's not like your phone that's
darn.
Like stops getting software updates or the battery gets bad or you drop it and the glass cracks. You know, it's a TV. Unless someone's throwing their Wii remote at it, you don't need to go out and buy a new one. You know?
What's a Wii remote?
You can have a 2000
yeah. I just paint this image that Nick just throws everything. It's great.
My AirPods.
Everything he has.
I take my iPad and I frisbee it into the television set. That's what I do.
We need to have someone on who's convinced 8K is the future, and that's what everyone's going
to
be
Marquez.
Watching.
Marquez.
No, he's not.
Well,
even
that's the
this.
Thing is his argument with it is future proofing. But I'm saying even in the future, I'm saying 50 years from now, I still don't think it'll be
that's
a
true.
Standard.
Well,
what
I do
like if Marquez is right and he thinks that his content's going to be viewed in IMAX theaters about unboxing the iPhone 6S. And he said, yep, there we go. Told you. I knew this was going to happen.
That's my issue with future proofing is that our tech community content ages horribly. We
this
don't really go back and watch our iPhone 5 reviews 10 years later. You know, it doesn't
that's
really happen
do.
That much. You watched
in my free time. I
did you watch
OG
the
Taylor
Galaxy S4 3 months later review?
That's all
in 2020.
I watched one stupid recommended video for the new Samsung things, and now I'm getting like S4 and Note 5 reviews and like Marquez's iPhone 4 reviews. It's like,
yeah, it's just gotta age right. We just gotta make sure that it looks good.
But it was
for
crispy.
Those three people
Marquez's
that are watching.
Was crispy 1080p way back then, so you know, good job.
So crispy.
Do you know what the future is though? The future are projectors.
Yeah, just get into it. We're losing time. Just cut the segue. Get right into it.
No, now you ruined it, Randy. Now you brought up the segue.
I had a good segue. He was going
to
wind up.
No,
I was
he say, ruined mine. I get to ruin his.
Projectors okay, are best ahead. When they're in a corner, so you have a fold in the middle of the projector scene. You put it in the corner.
I hate projectors.
That was not a very good transition.
That was a terrible transition.
Z Flip.
You're fired.
Thoughts.
What do you think of the Z Flip, Nick? Did you order one?
I didn't. I was close. I was about to. Looking at it.
You were asking about it.
The only reason...
I'll pay full price. That's what he said. I saw that.
So the thing that was most curious to me was this glass display. One of my very good friends is a material scientist. He got his engineering degree in material science. And he was going on and on about how there's no way this could be glass. It's physically impossible for it to be glass. And he's, you know, going on and
on. It's a marketing lie.
Yeah. And so I was curious enough because I don't care if it's glass or plastic at the end of the day. All I want is it to feel like glass with my finger. You know, I used to have this stupid plastic screen protector on like an old iPod Touch or something, and like when I rubbed my finger across it, it was just nasty feeling, too much friction. It was awful. I hated that thing. So that's why I like glass. And I'm curious if this Z Fold feels like glass, because if it feels like glass, I don't care if it is plastic. And you know, I am obviously curious about a folding phone. I'm not going to lie at this point that. The way the Z Fold has done the folding phone is, I think, the most practical way to do a folding phone. I don't like the Galaxy Fold. It's, like, not a good phone and not a good tablet, so what's the point? But this is at least a decent phone that, you know, fits into smaller pockets. But anyway, I was curious enough about it to where I actually did, you know, an afternoon of research on it. But it's just not worth it. I don't... $1,300 bucks, and
you could watch Jerry rig everything.
It. I know, and I'm just going to get more pleasure watching Jerry rig pour dirt into it and watching him fold it. So
now we're going to put in these jagged flex, diamonds and see what happens. You know,
just diamonds.
I'm interested
just
in trying
it. Fistful of diamonds.
Yeah, just like, you know, something you would have in your pocket.
Exactly.
Lots of
I'm a famous YouTuber.
Diamonds in the shape of
lots
ninja
of
stars.
Blood diamonds.
Yeah, like not soft diamond, like really sharp.
Exactly, like pointy, like off star. Diamond rings.
Yeah, diamond rings.
And on the Mohs hardness
anyway,
scale,
I'm curious about that glass too. Part of me is wondering if they're even allowed to call it glass. It probably gets really messy on the definition of glass because. Yeah. From what I've seen of people, people already have it. People are getting it early. I saw our buddy Greg Scradgets.
Greg Scradgets.
Oh, no one's going to let that down now.
Greg
Scradgets. It's my birthday. Give me a break.
Nope.
So he picked up one, and the warning label on it still says the exact same things the Galaxy Fold warning says.
Oh, boy.
So that's my question is, like, okay, if you went from a plastic display to glass, but you have all the same problems that a plastic display has, what did you do? And all I've heard from YouTubers that have made videos on it is just that it feels different. It's a different texture than plastic. Mm. So it feels more like glass. But if there's still a crease, and every YouTuber has brought up that the crease is quite noticeable, and when you're scrolling with it, it definitely, you know, you notice it from a texture perspective and from a visual perspective, and you still can't press it with your fingernail, and you still, you know, it's still not water dust resistant or any of that stuff, and you're not supposed to put debris on it or keys or anything metal is not supposed to touch that, and it still says you can't put adhesives on it, so I assume that means screen protectors. You still can't put a screen protector on it. I'm like, you know, when we asked for a glass display, it was so that we could get rid of all of the problems of a plastic one. Mm. So if you're just putting in glass, but every single problem is brought over with it, and I'm not saying that there is a way to fix it. I think you're bumping against the laws of physics a little bit, because if you're trying to make some type of material that can go back and forth, it cannot be rigid. It cannot be hard.
Yeah.
That can't be fixed. That's how you make something. You know, it's a spectrum of, if you want it to be scratch resistant, it's going to become more shatter prone. That's why they use sapphire on the Apple Watch, but not on the iPhone, because the Apple Watch is less prone to being dropped than the iPhone, but the Apple Watch is more prone to getting scratches because you're wearing it. So there's kind of that spectrum there. If you're making something that has to be so flexible that it can go back and forth repeatedly for years, you have to make something that is prone to scratches,
yeah,
and that also means prone to creases, getting worse over time. So I'm curious to get my hands on it. It'll be interesting because this is my first foldable, so I have no predetermined expectations of how it feels.
Or so you think they're going to cancel it again and give you another SSD.
Well, people actually have this one, luckily. They didn't can this release yet, and so far I've not seen any, like, mine broke in the first day. So it sounds like they've learned a lot. So I'm glad they're learning, and I do think it's an improvement. But, I still think that even once we defeat all of the durability issues with foldables, I'm not convinced that there's still a market for them. It's not just a matter of durability being a problem. It's also just they inherently have to be more expensive, and we've already seen what people are willing to pay for most smartphones. And by the time that you're able to make something like the Z Flip $800, then something like the iPhone 11 is going to be $200. You know, it's going to be... In time, we'll be able to make stuff even cheaper for the same amount of quality. So, yeah.
I get it. Yeah.
I don't know what this ultra-thin glass is.
I was curious enough to look at it, and I might try it one day, but I don't know. I'm not excited about it. Like, I'm curious about it, but I'm not excited. Like, if I was curious and excited, I would totally have it. But I'm not either. So.
I think people are misusing the headline right now, which is that the Z Flip is sold out, or as a lot of people have been saying, already sold out. It's sold out.
Well, when you only make six phones.
Right. People aren't really putting that into perspective. In the same way, the Pro Stand sold out very quickly, too. Deliveries got pushed back to January, like the day they launched it. But you don't see headlines saying... Apple sells out of the Pro. That's not what that means. I think people are just in a big debate about foldables and how well and how much demand there is for them, and that makes a great headline. But I got up very very early this morning to pre-order, and I immediately was like, okay, it's up. It's the store is up. Let's order one now. And I go to pre-order, and the unlocked version is already sold out. It's already out of stock.
Oof.
And this is online. This is not a Best Buy or anything. This is just in general. And it makes me wonder because I was like right there refreshing the site when it was available. I was like, was it ever available? Did anyone pick one up? Maybe. Maybe they made like five or six, like you said. And Greg was tweeting that at his local Best Buy, which is in New Jersey, that's a pretty popular place, that they basically had like one or two of each color configuration. So...
Well, there are only two colors and two configurations.
Yeah. And
256 in purple or black.
There's not that many configurations, and if they're selling out that quickly, you know, this is not the same thing as an iPhone selling out on launch day, and people are acting like it is.
Because on launch day
for an iPhone, they get about, you know, 1,000 of them.
Right.
And with the Z Flip, they're getting probably five per location. I checked my Best Buy. They didn't have any in stock at the day one. So they're not even bringing it to every location. You can still order one online, but they've already said from the get-go, Samsung mentioned that this is not meant to be a high production model. They're only planning on, I think, making 2.5 million for the whole year. I don't know how many of those are going to be returned or how many of them are YouTubers. But in regards to smartphone sales, that's not very much. 2.5 million is not.
Well, you're going
to
return yours, aren't you? So
yeah, I'm not keeping mine. So
yeah, it says a lot of people are. I think a lot of people are going to return it. Hey, this is cool, and the novelty wear it off. Here you go. I'm done.
And it's broken.
I'm tired of protecting my phone better than I'd protect a child.
I also just found out in Dave 2D's video today that it's not stereo speakers, and I was like, that annoys the crap out of me. The last time I used a phone and the speaker only came out of one end, I was like, ugh, God. I've had
SE
it since the 7.
Since 2016.
Yeah, the 7.
Yep. It's annoying. And then knowing
how
that it's
far have we
$1,400
come?
Bucks and its speaker's only on one end, it's like, ugh, I don't know. I don't think enough people are going to buy into it for this to be worth it. I'm still in gimmick territory. I think it's a niche, but I don't think it'll ever replace the mainstreams. That's the theme of this episode.
Boom. What a perfect...
Samsung loves exploring things.
Yeah, that's a perfect wrap-up to the episode.
You wrecked the wrap-up transition.
Shut up, Nate.
That's a running theme. It's wrecking our segues. But I hope Samsung does well. I hope people who get this phone enjoy it.
I hope you enjoy it, Drew. I hope you enjoy it so much that you keep it, because that will speak volumes.
Well, that's not going to happen because
I'm very realistic about the expectations. So
it's worth more than my mortgage payment, so I'm not
gross
going to hang on to a phone that's going to sit on my desk half the year. One of those.
Very smart.
The real gross partness about that is that that's not even half of my mortgage payment, so it makes me need to rethink about where I live.
We're getting too personal here. No, the one thing I think is going to bother me about the Flip the most is that the fingerprint reader is in the power button, but you have to unfold it to use it. So that means
when you take
the phone out of your pocket, you're like, okay, let me unflip it with my thumb, and then I have to put my thumb on the fingerprint to unlock it. And we still have people that, argue that, I hate how on iPhones you have to swipe up to go home. I wish it would just jump straight to the home screen. And while I'm mocking your voice, I do agree it should be an option if there was something in settings that said, as soon as Face ID works, jump straight to the home screen as quickly as possible, because some people like that. They complain about that, but with this phone, the fundamental use case of it with one hand is you have to flip, unlock, then start using. Not just take it out of your pocket, raise to wake, activates and unlocks, and boom. Make one swipe and you're done. And I do think that swiping up on an iPhone is a lot easier than prying open a Z Flip with one hand. Especially when it's like...
Can you turn off a phone conversation with an iPhone? So satisfactory.
Yeah, folio case. Boom! Suck it.
Boom.
It's a $120
Smash
solution.
Smash that titanium Apple card into the display.
The price of a Pro Max with a folio case from Apple is still cheaper than the Z Flip. Give you an idea of price points. But when it says don't press your thumb, your fingernail on the display, but to open the thing you have to pry it with your nail. I don't know how they want me to use it.
I don't get it.
What do you want from me?
Very, very carefully. That's how they want you to use it. Yeah.
Just open it with two hands every time. And wear gloves.
Better yet, use it in that dome. What kind of case does it take?
It comes with one. Boom. You can use our channel sponsor D-Brand. Wrap it.
Or you can get the after case, which is a knockoff of the later case.
Are you going to get that limited edition one that has three colors on it?
Oh, totally. I saw that advertisement, and I was just like, oh, my goodness, I need this device in my life.
Oh, my God.
The waterfall and the guy who looks so happy to be
there.
Three
colors.
Like his child was being held hostage by Samsung. That's what happened to DJ. DJ was holding that guy's kid hostage. I figured it out, guys. I figured it out.
Boom.
Oh, one last topic before we wrap up. I wanted to ask you guys how you felt about the removal of the headphone jack, because people are easy to not mention that.
Oh, I didn't even notice it was gone.
Yeah, they didn't bring it up.
I didn't even know we were still talking about it since 2016. I thought they were all gone.
Because this is my sweet victory, because back in 2016 when they removed the headphone jack, I said, you're all going to do it eventually, and then you're going to be fine with it because the industry will have changed and we'll be used to it. So y'all need to shut up. So this is me living out my dream 4 years later and saying, yep, I knew it would happen. I didn't say when it would happen. I just said eventually they would remove it. And all these arguments you're using against Apple can apply to Samsung. But because the industry is different now, we don't care. What do you think?
Sometimes they just – I think it's a good PR move that a company, in this case Samsung, decided to look like they were the last ones to hold out, because they let the wireless headphone market mature. And
yep.
I'm glad they did it, because it was inevitable. But
it was inevitable.
And what did it cost you? Everything.
$1,400
and $1,300.
But yeah, I mean, people, it's fine because it's just a famous case of hating on Apple because it's trendy. Because when Apple wants to wait on implementing something, it's like, well, it's about time. But nobody's saying, well, Samsung, it's about time. And nobody's accusing Samsung of just trying to sell their portable wireless headsets.
Galaxy Buds.
Like, yeah. Galaxy Buds. But when sell Apple a solution. Does, like, oh, yeah. Oh, you saw. Well, they sold a solution to a problem we didn't have, and but the thing is,
there was demand.
What we said about at the very beginning is like everyone's worried about Apple because they're chasing Apple's thing, and Apple's like, I don't care if you keep the headphone jack. I'm saying we want because we can make better use out of the limited space that we have inside the phones or the devices, even right. iPads and stuff like that. And they're like, well, this is where we feel it's going to go. And, you know, let the free market decide. And everyone, AirPods are the best selling. Like not a person in this world does not know what an AirPod is now. The same way they didn't know what an iPad or an iPhone is. Like, there you go. That's the power of the Apple marketing. So the fact that Samsung did it, like, I'm indifferent because it's like, well, you know, it was coming. But I'm glad that they did it. And I think their timing... It didn't matter when they did it. They decide if they use the excuse. I'm trying to play devil's advocate. It's like, well, we're waiting the market to mature. Well, you can say thank you, Apple, for starting the push on that.
How did it mature? Yeah.
Yeah. It was Apple's doing, so you're welcome.
Wireless headphones have not drastically changed that much in the past couple of years. So I don't think it's like, well, they couldn't do it in 2016, but they can do it now. You know?
Yeah.
Especially given iPhone 7 was a lot cheaper than the S20, so... The argument of having to pay for new headphones and stuff. It also says a lot that, you know how they all have 5G? And I found out later that the reason they all have 5G is that when you rock the latest Snapdragon 865, you pretty much have to because that's what it is capable of. And in order to have a non-5G S20, you have to use a different CPU. So because they have this contract with Qualcomm... They actually didn't have a choice. This is one of the negatives of outsourcing your CPU is that Qualcomm made the choice. No, if you have 865, you have to have 5G. That's the fact. Like, you can't have 4G on a 865, which means that you have to buy our chip, which is more expensive, probably because these modems are more pricey. I wish Samsung would cool it with the 5G marketing. You know, they all have 5G across the board, but they have to keep bringing it up. The S20 Ultra with 5G. It's like, is there a version without 5G? No. Then why do you got to bring it? Just call it the S20.
Because the iPhone doesn't have it, and we beat iPhone. Get
the S20 5G, the Ultra 5G. It's like, it's just the 5G. It's in there now. Just say it's across the board. But
and if you use it with T-Mobile, you will get slightly faster 4G. If you use it with Verizon, you can use it on one block in one city on a sunny day with
no wind.
That's
another law of diminishing returns argument. Yeah. Maybe, if we feel like it. So that shows that I mean, I know all the iPhones are going to support 5G this year as well, but that's just says a lot about Qualcomm's influence on the smartphone market. They're like, you're all going to use 5G. We don't want to. Too bad. You're going to do it.
We don't want to. I know.
No, I don't know.
We don't either.
But we can.
No one wants 5G.
Use it for marketing.
I'm actually convinced of this. No one actually wants 5G. The carriers don't want to roll out the infrastructure for 5G.
Well, they kind of do.
The smartphone makers don't want to. They want the advertising and promotion.
They want the revenue.
They're on the 5G network. Well, they. No one wants it though.
No, like, no one was asking for this.
No one wants it.
Perfect coverage, and then said, "Dang, I just wish I had faster speeds, but LTE is so slow." No, it was always, "Oh, my coverage sucks, so it's slower here." You know, it was always that, or my bill is too expensive. You know, can we work on that?
Yeah, the next feature film for Talosif Productions will be exploring an alternate timeline where all the carriers decided to invest more in LTE and not invest
more
into
coverage,
5G.
Yeah. My wife just hit her 10th Mint Mobile referral, by the way. So,
congratulations. We had to get this in here. Hashtag sponsored.
Not sponsored.
Thank you, Ryan.
But thank you, Ryan.
Hashtag not
Hashtag
sponsored,
Deadpool
but click our
Network.
Link.
No, don't
Hashtag
click our link. But we can't
T-Mobile
use more than 10 referrals.
Network.
I got to switch it to someone else
Hashtag T-Mobile
I have
is
to switch
be the
code
best carrier.
To
Speaking of T-Mobile,
to my mom or something,
it finally went through.
I can't get any more referrals for the rest of the year.
Sprint merger,
and
the judge approved it.
My wife.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, it's a merger. We're all good to go.
Yeah. So that was a thing.
I know lots of people are excited about this, but I'm just looking over here on my Verizon network.
Hey, I'm excited because now I can finally cash out that stock. I've been holding on to it for so long because I want the merger to happen. So that was my
Didn't they announce this merger like 40 years ago or something?
They did, and it got approved.
Yep, 49 years ago, actually.
It got approved, and then you had an opposition come in and say that if you do that, you're going to make it a monopoly. And John Legere, he refuted that. And
three companies is not a monopoly, people.
Yeah.
Well, we also have the U.S. Cellular Network, the fifth largest network in the U.S., gross. Where they have eight towers in the Midwest.
That's a good point.
That's
Nick.
Gross.
That's gross.
All right. Well,
Xfinity's a monopoly. Why don't they tackle that?
This is true. Starlink, please, folks.
Thank you, Starlink.
Speaking Google of, Fi. We should probably switch gears.
Let's wrap up.
I'm done. Yeah.
All right. Thank you guys for singing. You don't have to sing anymore.
And happy birthday.
Nope. Happy
yes,
birthday.
We need to sing the outro, okay? No, Randy, we're going to sing the outro. You can harmonize the birthday tune. I'm going to get the beat.
Happy birthday. Dun, 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 dun. Happy birthday.
We'll talk about the Z Flip next podcast and my experience with it.
Bye,
see you,
later.
Everyone. Have a good week.